If I said the word stock, what's the first thing that would bring to your mind? I think depending on what you do, that would determine what you think, right? So if you're a cook, for example, mm-hmm. that would probably bring up
broth.
Mm-hmm. Right? So out of the things that you know, bring up flavor, that kind of deal. In the financial industry, though, we have a lot of jargon.
Yes. Right?
And unless you have to take the Series 7 test, you don't really know all the jargon that there is. Trust me, it's a lot. But that makes knowing what you need to know a little bit more difficult at times.
So today on Talking Sense Podcast, we're talking about all the retirement accounts, employer plans, and what you need to know to help you decode the jargon.
Hey, welcome to the Talking Sense Podcast. I'm Mark Osorio.
And I'm Teresa Arago. We're financial advisors, and if there's one thing we understand, it's that money can be confusing.
So get ready, because we're breaking down what you don't know about money today on the Talking Sense Podcast.
Welcome back, guys. I'm Teresa Arago.
And I'm Mark Osorio.
And as we mentioned, we're going to be talking about decoding financial jargon. I have to own the fact that when I started here at GenWealth, I had been a bookkeeper, so I wasn't really in this industry. And I spent about a year trying to figure out the language. And I had this entire notebook full of acronyms, because we love our acronyms. One of them I realized was not actually a financial jargon acronym after a long time of trying to figure it out, and it was CYA. So, but we know that in any industry, there's kind of a language to learn for it. And if you don't know the language when it comes to financial jargon, then you may not be able to figure out the concepts you need to, just because there's a language barrier there.
Right. And one of the things that we found out is that when you're new to an employer or to just investing in general, right, there's a lot of things that you have to overcome just to know your way around. So for actually one of my colleagues, before he worked in this industry, he recalls having a HR package thrown at him and having to figure out what on earth he was supposed to invest in. And he ended up going with something called high yield, because it sounded like a high
performer. Everybody wants high yield, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Who doesn't? Only to find out that that was, relative to what he should be in, very conservative, right? And not what he needed to invest in. And he found, but he found himself there for many years. So in order to help our listeners with this, we want to make sure that you understand the jargon of your 401k and IRAs. And so let's get started.
And let's start with understanding the difference between an IRA and a 401k, 403b, 401a, all the different codes that are out there, okay?
Yes.
So an IRA, what IRA stands for is Individual Retirement Account. So these are tax advantage, which means you don't pay taxes as it's growing. It gets to kind of grow what's called tax deferred. You're putting those off until you pull money out for your long-term savings. But it's outside of your employer plan. So this is individual.
Yeah. And actually, one of the things, I totally forgot to mention this before I got started, but I have never liked the words or the terms just Roth and traditional, because I think they're completely meaningless whenever you're explaining things, right?
Yes.
So for terms of this podcast, is it okay if we just say pre-tax and after-tax?
Yes, let's clarify. Traditional means pre-tax. So, and the reason it's called traditional is because it was the first one that existed. So traditional, pre-tax, those are the same thing.
Yes.
And that has to do with how your money is treated on the way in. Let's be very clear about that. So if I make $50,000 a year and I put $5,000 into a traditional IRA, then on my taxes, if I meet the requirements, I get to pay taxes off of $45,000 instead of my full $50,000. So that's pre-tax going into it. Roth, after tax, means that when I put money into it, I don't get any tax benefits on the way in. So after tax, pre-tax, let's make sure we understand what that was first.
Awesome. And I like that we already killed two birds with one stone there.
Yeah.
Because that was the first point. So pre-tax, traditional, after tax, Roth. Excellent.
And then with that traditional, so we put it in pre-tax. When we pull money out in retirement, it is taxed as we pull it out. Whereas with the Roth, because you're using after-tax dollars, as long as you meet the requirements at retirement, and you know there's a few little things like it has to have been around for 5 years, then you're past age 59 and a half, all of the money you put into it plus the growth is now tax-free to you in retirement. But those are individual accounts. Now, what we were really wanting to focus in on today, though, is the 401k, because as you mentioned, at most employers, you're handed a packet, you're given a few days to turn it back in. zero coaching. And when you open that packet, those documents and those investments are going to have words attached to them that may not make a whole lot of sense to you if you don't understand the lingo. So we're going to go through some of that with you today. Yeah. But generally speaking, Mark, let's break down what a 401k is also.
All right. So it's an employer-sponsored plan that really acts just like a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA. So has pre-tax money that you can invest there as well as after-tax. And there's increasingly a larger number of 401ks that offer the after-tax portion, mm-hmm. but not all of them do. But 401ks aren't the only retirement accounts out there. There's also other employer plans like 403b, 401a, kind of like Teresa mentioned earlier. There's a lot of them. So,
and then for smaller employers, there's something called a simple IRA or an SEP that they can utilize to offer because, 401ks are expensive. So larger right. companies can afford those. But even if you're a small business owner, that simple IRA is a great tool for you as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And within each of those, kind of like we were talking, you've got the two types, right? So pre-tax and after-tax, mm-hmm. Which differ primarily, again, in the timing of the taxing, mm-hmm. right, of the tax benefits.
So just like we talked about with the IRAs, a lot of employer plans have started allowing a Roth option within their 401k, which is great for those that want to start building some of that after-tax savings for retirement too. So we've talked about, generally speaking, an employer plan. Sometimes there's a match involved in it, and we're going to throw that plug again. Don't walk away from free money. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. what do these investments mean? So there's a few different words that we're going to go over. First, we're going to talk about what is a growth investment. When you see the word growth in the title of the investment, what does that mean, Mark?
Yeah, it's so confusing because you think, well, aren't these investments, aren't they all meant to grow, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's really confusing.
But they're actually not. All the investment types have different purposes. It goes back to that planning process of you've got to know what the purpose is and match your investments to it. So if I'm seeking growth and I want a growth fund, what does that mean?
Yeah. So essentially what you're looking at is the portfolio manager of whatever, mutual fund or exchange traded funds, or even the stock that you're looking at, right? It can be, if it's a growth fund or a growth stock, it means that the objective of it is capital appreciation, right? So that the investment is going to increase in value because of the increase in market share that it's looking to acquire, right? Or that it's typically going to be a company with a lot of growth potential, right? So if you look at Tesla, for example, it's a great example for what we saw last year. All the growth that it saw in the value of its price, right, was due to the fact that it was entering into new markets, mm-hmm. right, and seeing a lot of support in that. So not necessarily that it has a lot of things or that it's a well-established company or anything like that. But more of its just overall growth potential.
Exactly. So we're talking about a company that their main goal is for that share price to increase.
Correct.
It's not about, some people talk about dividends, things like that. With a growth focused investment, its goal is to increase the price of that that share over time. And as we've mentioned before, with employer plans, you're usually going to be looking at mutual funds as your options to invest inside of them. So mm-hmm. that's what we talked there. What about stable? So what does a stable fund do? Well, a stable value fund is an insured bond portfolio. What are bonds good for? They're good for lowering volatility. They used to be great for the dividend, but with mm-hmm. interest rates so low, we've kind of had to give that up. Yeah. So there's a piece of insurance to that makes them fairly stable. They don't jump up. They don't fall down much. They just kind of stay in a small range. That's what you're looking for when you see the word stable mm-hmm. Within an investment. So,
and what we want to make sure is that you also know that that doesn't mean guaranteed, mm-hmm. right? Because a lot of things could happen to these bonds,
yes.
right? And there is still default risk to a lot of these. So generally, the safer ones are the government backed bonds, right? Because those are issued by.
So we're using jargon. Let's back up a little bit. You said default risk. Yes. What does that mean?
Yes. So just like somebody can stop paying their mortgage, right, and lose their home, and in the same way, if a somebody that's borrowing, for example, a corporation, if they're borrowing money from the bank, and if for whatever reason they are not able to fulfill those commitments, then at that point they would default on that bond.
Exactly, because a bond is really just a loan. The company, you're loaning them money when you buy their bonds. So when you're buying a bond fund, you're buying those loans. And if the company fails, they can't meet their obligations. So there's going to be risk involved in any investment. So we've talked about growth focused. We've talked about that stable value. Let's talk about a value fund.
Yeah. So a value fund, as opposed to the growth fund, is a fund that is looking to increase in value because there is a perceived undervalue from the market perspective.
One of the best examples I've found for explaining how a value fund becomes a value fund, how a fund becomes a value fund, is if anybody's been around back when BP oil spill happened, you know, that was something that was a huge deal to my generation. The day before that, that stock was about $60 a share. The day that spill happened, it dropped to 30. Now, BP was still a solid company, but there was a big concern from investors selling it off that made the price just drop dramatically. Sometimes it's that there's a company that has something on the cusp of being great, but it just hasn't quite made it there. So the price is lower for some reason, and there's an expectation that it's going to resolve. So that's with that value play, the idea is you're buying something at a discount,
right?
Ideally, then hopefully it recovers and you're able to benefit from that recovery.
Exactly. This strategy is focusing on shares that are undervalued from a fundamental analysis perspective. Now, fundamental analysis, totally, totally financial jargon there.
Mm-hmm.
And what it just talks about is when you look at the company and the financials of the company, right? Are the expenses down? Are the revenues up? And does the company own assets, right? Or machines, you know, mm-hmm. things, and is it undervalued from that perspective of what all of those buildings, machines, mm-hmm. people are worth? And then so at some point you expect that the market will raise the value of it to what it should be.
And these are usually going to be well-established companies. These aren't your up-and-comers that are totally unheard of typically. And, you know, another thing that's just kind of a bonus tip in here when it comes to looking at your employer plan, you know, you see large cap, mid cap, small cap. All that means is how big is the company. But understand that even a small cap company is pretty big. So
right.
It's not like we're talking about your mom and pop shop down the road. A small cap company still has quite a large balance sheet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot to see there. And as far as the segments, right, how much into the weeds mm-hmm. you can get, right, then there's also micro cap stocks mm-hmm. as well as there's mega cap stocks, mm-hmm. right? So it's not just the few that we know, but what we want to give you is the tools that you will need to make just a better decisions within your portfolio.
And I'd encourage you to think of your employer plan as a piece of your puzzle. You know, you need to make sure that it fits in your overall plan too. So it's important to get a clue, get a plan, right? The type of accounts you should have are going to depend on what your long-term goals are. And you've got to make sure that all the different accounts work together to sing for your future. So if you're seeing that employer plan as its own piece and you've got other investments that you're not really including in that, you may find that you've got some imbalances to your investment strategy.
Right. So just today, actually, you and I were talking to a client
mm-hmm.
That has a big bonus that is about to be paid out. And the first thing we were figuring out is, hey, what's the purpose for this money?
Mm-hmm.
Right. What are we trying to do here so that then we can come up with the right type of account, the right type of investment for you? And again, to meet your goals.
Yes, you know, your investments are not your plan. They are the tools to get you to the end of the road, but they're not the plan all by itself. So it's really important for you to have that plan. And you got to have a plan that accounts for your personal circumstances, your goals, your dreams. It's time to get that going if you haven't yet. We've got two different tools that we can use to help you with that. One of those is MoneyWorks. It's a program that Mark is spearheading for our team that just helps you get some financial education, helps you get some coaching, and really define what those goals look like. I think it's really hard when you're in your 20s and 30s and even in your 40s sometimes to even envision retirement. But if you can get those tools to help you make better decisions today, you're going to be in better shape in your future.
Yeah. And because we know that it can be very difficult and that, you know, not everybody was taught, these principles, then that's why precisely why we wanted to start this program, so that you can get that financial foundation underneath mm-hmm. you to be able to make better decisions.
And then for those that are a little bit further into their journey, we've got Money Guide. It's another program that helps you in balancing your family and your finances. It's goals-based financial planning that helps you navigate your life now and in the future. And it's a really great tool for helping you see where you're headed currently and help you also see the impact of changes that you may want to make if that doesn't get you where you want to go. You know, it's time to have our last 2 cents of the day. So, Mark, for me, I have to say that financial jargon can be really confusing, but don't let that confusion keep you from starting, yeah. keep you from investing in your future. And we get it. There's a lot of complexity. There are a lot of options out there. And I'd say about half the people we meet with just want us to help them make the most of what they're currently doing and make sure that what they're doing matters and is going to get them where they want to go. So my last 2 cents here is going to be that don't let that jargon hold you back.
Yeah. And mine would be that investments alone aren't enough. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot more to consider here. There's a lot more to plan for. So, you know, we were talking about MoneyWorks, right? It really combines the ease of technology with the power of relationship, right? And mm-hmm. then Money Guide, right? Just for those folks that are a little bit further ahead and really want to hone in on mm-hmm. on those goals. So, you know, having that extra expertise and really nailing down what you're investing for mm-hmm. Is what we want to leave you with here today. So thank you guys again so much for your time today. Loved having you, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Talking Sense podcast. And if you like what you hear, make sure to subscribe to the podcast to get all the newest episodes.
The Jim Love team is available to you 24/7 at info@getreadyforthefuture.com or call our offices at 866-653-PLAN. That's 866-653-7526.
And while we like to have fun here, we're also financial advisors, and that means disclosures. You should personally consult a financial advisor before making any investment, and no strategy can ensure success.
Jim Wolf Financial Advisors is an Arkansas registered investment advisor with securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC.